HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Today I am joined by Paula Quinn of Mason Hayes & Curran. Paula advises clients on a variety of workplace issues, including contracts, policies, grievances, disciplinaries. And today, thankfully, she's here to talk to me about right to disconnect. Paula, how are you?
Hi, Declan. Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me this morning.
Great to have you on, Paula. Paula, before we get into right to disconnect, how are you guys handling COVID-19? Is everyone remote or lots of people remote? What's happening for Mason Hayes and Curran?
Yeah, everyone has been working remotely since the announcement came in March. And there was sort of a plan, I think, to try and get back to the office at some stage. But unfortunately, with the way things went, or, you know, the way things panned out, we're still working remotely. So, I mean, look, it hasn't been, there've been a couple of bumps in the road, but in general, everyone has coped fantastically with it, because this has been a huge, you know, seismic change for so many industries, especially the legal industry. And there have been challenges along the way, but honestly, overall, we've been getting on great and everyone has adapted to it really, really well.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, it's amazing how people have just in lots of organizations just sort of come together to overcome it. Just on a practical note, just for the operation of the legal system and in the employment law space, for example, the WRC, et cetera, how has that been working? Has it been remote as well, or has there been actual hearings?
Yeah, during the summer, there was a mix of kind of a bit of both, and there were some face-to-face hearings as well as remote hearings. But now at the moment, obviously, they're all remote, and that seems to be actually working quite well. I think that the WRC and the Labour Court have both adapted fairly quickly to the way things went as well. And they accept submissions online and email format. And we're quite lucky in that sense that we were already working with a lot of our paperwork and everything like that. We had full access to that remotely anyway and online. So, I mean, that wasn't a huge change for us. But I think the WRC and the Labour Court recognise, look, we need to keep things moving. We don't want a huge backlog in cases. And they're really trying to kind of, I suppose, at the beginning, it was sort of a choice as to whether you wanted it remotely or not. And I think that now most people have recognised that it is worthwhile having the case remotely, if it's suitable for that. Not all cases are suitable for remote hearing. And that goes for the civil courts as well. So I think that it's going to be here to stay. It's going to be probably a blend of remote and face-to-face hearings in the future. And one good thing about it as well is that you probably don't have as many of the difficulties as, you know, witnesses trying to travel for hearings and scheduling difficulties and things like that. You can be a little bit more flexible with remote hearings.
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm delighted as well that it's not creating some massive backlog for people to deal with it in the future. Sorry, I hijacked you there in terms of what we had agreed we would talk about. Right to disconnect, it's hugely in focus at the moment. It's, you know, you're hearing people on radio stations, on the news talk about it. There's potential legislation, et cetera, et cetera. Before we get into what might happen or what will be happening, where are we at right now in terms of the current legislation that guides this area? And what does that mean to employees and employers?
Well, firstly, I suppose there's no official legal definition of the right to disconnect in Irish law. What it basically is that it's a worker's right to be able to switch off from work and stop engaging in work-related emails and messages outside of normal working hours. And just to say as well, this isn't new. This has been in focus since before the pandemic as well, because, you know, we are working in this global economy. We work across time zones. We have people based in a lot of different places. There's often been sort of a need to try and facilitate conference calls and emails and things like that outside of our traditional working hours to try and accommodate those people that work across, you know, different jurisdictions. So that is something that we've seen. But I think obviously COVID has brought it to the forefront completely, because it's highlighted certain issues in the area. And I think there was kind of a bit of maybe some concerns and reluctance around remote working at the beginning, but especially in terms of kind of things like blurring the home and working life balance, which is actually what has kind of transpired. So we do have law in the area already. So we implemented the European Work and Time Directive in our act, which is called the Organization of Work and Time Act, and that was back in 1997. So we do have law in the area already that is there, and this sort of includes a technical right to disconnect, because it sets out the periods that an employee is entitled to a rest break. So basically employees have to have a rest break every 15 minutes for every 4 hours, 4.5 hours worked, and they must have a 30 minute break every 6 hours. So in addition to this, then they're entitled to 11 hours consecutive rest every 24 hours and 24 hours rest, consecutive rest every seven days. There is a mandatory 48-hour average working week that you can't contract out of unless in very limited circumstances. But this is averaged over a certain period. So, I mean, there are cases where some weeks an employee might be working in excess of 48 hours, but other weeks they may not. So it can balance out. Now, saying that, I suppose it has been 23 years since we've introduced the legislation and things have moved on. It was easy, to record employees' working time back in 1997 because everyone was sort of based on site or in the office. And it was very clear, you know, you could clock in, clock out, things like that. And it was easy to track. Now we've got different devices, different locations. Everyone is working kind of, at different various, it's just different for everybody, as to how it's working now. So it can be really difficult to monitor. And I think that that's a huge change. So I suppose the legislation hasn't really changed to keep up with today's reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And why then are we talking about new legislation? Is the current legislation, I mean, absolutely hasn't kept up in terms of, you know, devices and maybe newer working schedules and arrangements. But are we saying that that existing legislation cannot be laid over the existing or the newer ways of working?
Yeah, and there's I'm not saying there's definitely a need for a new legislation either. I mean, it could be a case that it's more of a code of practice that could be introduced, and that could be done. It's sort of anticipated at the moment that if there is a code of practice, that will be done in conjunction with the Workplace Relations Commission, and that they'll have a hand in drafting that. So I suppose that the reason that it's kind of come to the forefront now in terms of maybe changing the legislation is because the practicalities of the legislation are a little bit difficult. And this really was highlighted. There was a case that that was introduced about 2 years ago in 2018, the Keepack versus Grainne O'Hara case. And that case was interesting because that was the real sort of first right to disconnect case in Ireland, where the Labour Court ordered the employer to pay €7,500 in compensation to the employee. And this was something that kind of took a lot of people by surprise, because the employee claimed that she was suffering burnout because she was working close enough to 60 hours a week, but she was dealing with emails before 8 o'clock in the morning, in the evening, sometimes up until midnight. And she worked as a business development executive. So I think the expectation was that she would probably be flexible. But she said that, look, I mean, I'm actually at the point of burnout now at this stage. So the company did respond and they said that, look, there was no obligation on her to work outside of her contracted hours of 40 hours a week. And that the reason that she was working these hours was, you know, maybe down to her own inefficiency and maybe not managing her time appropriately. And ultimately, they lost with that argument. And the reason that they did is a bit interesting because the employer is obliged to record working time and they're obliged to have a mechanism in place to try and produce those records and keep them in the proper manner. And if they don't do that, the onus is on them to prove that they're compliant. So they can't just say they didn't ask her to work that those hours and it was sort of up to her. They were on notice of the fact that she did work those hours. And they were aware that she was sending emails out of hours and at weekends, and they didn't do anything to address that. And I think this is just an important reminder to employers that if they're on notice of something like this, and if it's a case that maybe it is a performance issue that the time has been managed appropriately, once they're aware of these working patterns, they have to take action in relation to that. So this case was kind of really highlighted that maybe the legislation isn't quite fit for purpose because it wasn't really taken account of the fact that she was working outside of the normal hours and they didn't really have a mechanism for recording that. So I think that that's where it's going from.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm guessing a lot of companies at the moment are having a more fluid approach as to when people work and probably don't have the infrastructure to, in a remote setting especially, to work out when people are not working. I would imagine that's something that we might see more of.
Oh, absolutely. That is a huge challenge at the moment because it's something that, look, naturally, it's very, very difficult to track. And I think that that's where, I mean, it's a complex, you know, it's going to be a complex piece of legislation if they do legislate for it in Ireland. Because how really do you track this when everybody is working remotely? People are logging on, you know, checking their emails on their commute to work, things like that. I mean, is that going to be counted as well as being potentially a breach of working time? So I think that the approach that employers really are starting to look into now at the moment is trying to develop some sort of remote working policy to deal with all of these things. And that encompasses a lot of areas, not just the right to disconnect. That can also include things like health and safety, things like, I suppose, performance management when you're working remotely, trying to make sure that employees are coping well and can be managed, I suppose, in the remote working environment. And part of that it could be to encourage this culture of you're not supposed to always be switched on, that you do have the right to disconnect and you're not expected to respond to your emails out of hours.
Yeah, absolutely. What does it look like in other countries, Paula? Is there any other countries doing anything interesting?
Yeah, I suppose France will be leading the way in this regard because they already brought in legislation a few years ago. So in 2017, they brought in a right to disconnect. And now they didn't actually define in the legislation how the right to disconnect is going to be implemented. And what they did was they left it up to the companies. And if a company has more than 50 employees, they are obliged to, first of all, I suppose, negotiate with the unions, see if they can agree a right to disconnect with them. And in the event that they don't, they have to come up with some sort of a mandate or a policy that sets out when employees have a right to switch off their emails, switch off their devices and not be on call. And similarly in Italy, they've come up with a right to disconnect under legislation. So under the contract of employment, they have to regulate the rest periods. Now we have to do the same thing as well. We have to set out the rest periods in our contracts of employment, but they also have to confirm what measures they've taken to try and guarantee the workers' right to disconnect. And in Spain, they have something similar. I think that in Germany, they were probably one of the first countries to really lead the way in this, though, because they, not from a legislative level, but actually from a company-led level, because I think it was Volkswagen in 2011, they introduced a policy and that the servers actually blocked emails from being sent from certain time periods. So between 6 p.m. in the evening, 7 a.m. in the morning, you couldn't actually receive emails. And this is something that some other companies as well in Germany started to kind of follow suit when they saw what they were doing. And I think that that effect of what some companies in Europe are doing, companies in Europe are in Ireland are really trying to, I suppose, take notice of that as well and try and implement it on their side too.
Yeah, I'd heard that. Sorry, I didn't realize it was Volkswagen, but I had heard that story all right of disconnecting your effectively your email server or not allowing it to transact emails. You could still send it; it just wouldn't actually get delivered until the appropriate time.
BMW might have done that as well.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of German companies that sort of led the way in that regard, which is really groundbreaking.
Yeah, absolutely, and it feels like, especially in the primarily remote setting, it feels like that solves a lot of these problems. You mentioned, I think, sorry, it was in the context of Italy, you were saying, or Spain, that it was the, you know, companies had to show measures. So that would be a type of measure. Was there any other ones like that or?
A lot of this at the moment is sort of at the early stages. So actually, even this week in Europe, the members of the European Parliament have voted to try and put some pressure on Europe to try and bring in a bill that will deal with the right to disconnect. So there's a lot of talk at the moment about this becoming a European right. And if that's the case, obviously, as you know, members of the EU, this will fall on us to implement then afterwards. And this is something that it's not going to go away and it's going to become the new normal. So people really want to make sure that they have some clear blue water between their personal life and their working life. Which is something that a lot of Irish companies have started to do. And some companies have already brought in policies. They're kind of trying to get ahead of the curve in this sense and bring in remote working policies or even specific right to disconnect policies too.
Two very interesting things there you mentioned. So I'll just come back to the first one. The proposal for the European legislation, is there any detail behind that? Like, do we know what that could potentially look like?
We don't at the moment. What they have said is, I suppose the prompt behind it is that they're aware that there is this kind of this always on culture, and that this is putting a strain on employees' physical and mental health. And they know that because of this, there can be other issues. So in Ireland, you know, an employer can be liable if an employee suffers an injury from a stress-related issue, and they can raise a complaint to that area. So the employer is obliged to sort of take measures to resolve that. And I think that this is where they're sort of coming from in Europe. They know that there's an issue at the moment. And they haven't, what they've done is they have just debated it this week. They've made a resolution that the members of the European Parliament have adopted, and this is going to be passed over to the European Commission. I think that it's early 2021. I think they said January or February next year, there'll be further steps taken on it. So this is obviously at a really early stage, but look, it's an indication of things to come. So it's something to just be aware of at the moment.
Absolutely. And you mentioned about some Irish companies. Are there any leading lights out there, or who's doing what in Ireland, or what have you seen in Ireland in terms of adapting to this?
Yeah, and I think AIB have really been to the forefront of this, because they're the first company that I'm aware of anyway that have introduced specific right to disconnect policy. And from what I understand, this covers emails, meetings, including virtual meetings, and sort of set some parameters around that, you know. So it will set guidelines in terms of, you know, when people should be arranging these meetings, who should attend, is it really necessary that certain people attend those meetings? Trying to encourage employees to only check their emails during working hours, and to try and disconnect from work on evenings, weekends, and holidays, and things like that. So there have been some initiatives in general across different employers to try and, I suppose, combat the effects of remote working. But AIB would probably be one of the most notable ones in Ireland at the moment.
And I can jump in here and say that is my day job. Paula was not aware of that prior to this, so it wasn't a, she wasn't I
Thanks
wasn't
for
leading her
that.
there. But yeah, no, it was ex it was it's an excellent initiative, to be fair, and I'm delighted that we're leading the
Yeah, it's
way
a
on
great
that
step
one.
forward. And I think that this is something that certainly employers are trying to kind of ask about a little bit more. And in terms of kind of trying to get ahead of things, in case legislation does come down the line, it would be an idea to maybe look at a policy at this stage and kind of have a think about what you might put into a policy in terms of the right to disconnect. And it could be things like that. It could be about maybe looking at when meetings are scheduled, who needs to be there. Should employees be have to respond to emails if they arrive out of hours? It's going to turn into more of a culture shift, though, because it's all well and good having a policy there, but if it's not actually implemented, it's not going to be of any use to anyone.
Could not agree more. It's very much, for most organizations, a cultural move for sure. And look, I think that all of us, irrespective of remote, not remote, pandemic, no pandemic, the amount of meetings you possibly get invited to that, you know, there's no need to be at or whatever. It's just a fact. That's the way just things have gone. What's next in Ireland then?
Well, at the moment, the government have been looking at this, like I said, from before the pandemic, and they were considering not necessarily bringing in legislation, but they wanted to kind of analyse this area and just see kind of how remote working and how right to disconnect is affecting Irish employees. And they did carry out a remote working report last year, and they acknowledged in that they did identify that the right to disconnect was important, and they carried out a public consultation. So there have been, you know, some recent movements in relation to that, and Sinn Féin and Labour have both been involved in bringing in a bill to try and debate this. And they're looking for certain things. You know, they want to make sure that employers have to inform employees of their policy on out-of-hours communication, and also to protect employees from any sort of retribution or punishment if they want to abide by this policy. If the employees want to make sure that they do disconnect, that there's no sort of penalisation for that. So the government has indicated that they're not opposed to this legislation, and this is something that they certainly do want to explore and to look at. I don't think they're necessarily committed to all the detail in the bills or anything like that yet, but it is something that they do want to see how it's going to make a difference, because there's no point bringing in a change legislation. That's fully understandable. There's no point changing the legislation if it's not really going to have much of a practical impact. So we'll wait and see what comes out of that, but there will be changes, I expect, early next year.
Thanks, Paula. And if I'm not mistaken, they've asked the WRC to make some recommendations. Is that correct?
Yeah, they anticipate that the Workplace Relations Commission will draw up sort of a code of practice in this area. If that's the route they're going to take with this, the Workplace Relations Commission will be involved in that. And the likes of a code of practice would actually be very useful, because that would set out guidelines for employers as to, well, how are they going to deal with this? And it might include certain things like employees should be encouraged not to engage in out-of-hours emails, and that they can't be reprimanded in the event that they don't engage in work out of hours as well. So I think it might look like that.
And just last thing, Paula, what's the role of the employee here in terms of, you know, there is existing legislation. You know, I can choose to check my email at 10 p.m. tonight if I want to. In terms of the law, is there any onus on the employee there to not put the company in a bad position, if you get me?
Well, I mean, you can put into a contract that an employee has to, you know, assist you in keeping records of your working time and things like that. But look, ultimately, the responsibility for maintaining the records and for making sure that the employee is taking their rest breaks and that they're complying with the legislation rests with the employer and not with the employee. Now, this isn't a simple area, really, because it is going to present challenges. There is a need for flexibility in across all workplaces. And it might be the case where it suits an employee to work maybe out of hours. And maybe they want to take a chunk of the day to maybe collect kids from school or do whatever things they need to do, and then possibly log on again in the evening and work again, which is absolutely fine. And a lot of employers are accommodating that at the moment. So some kind of, I suppose, strict legislation in the area that says you need to log off by a certain time isn't going to suit everybody. And especially in the case of companies where they're international, where some of their workforce is based in America or different places where there's a different time zone. And they do need to have that kind of flexibility. So we don't necessarily want to put pressure on employees to finish at a certain time at the close of business. But in reality, I mean, I think at the moment, working beyond the thresholds, it's just not really monitored and it goes unnoticed. So I think it goes back to maybe the expectations of the company changing. So if the company really has a culture that, look, we do want you to try and kind of limit the amount of time that you're spending working on out of hours, emails, different things like that, responding to things. If that culture is there, it's going to make it a lot easier for employees to comply with the legislation themselves and log off as well at the appropriate times.
Well, thanks so much for your time today. It's clearly an evolving area. I think there's lots more to come in this in the coming months. It feels like, you know, there's a massive shift how we are all working in general, and the legislative side of it is trying to keep pace as well, or is changing to keep pace with it. So we might have to check back in with you in a couple of months' time and see where we're at then.
Absolutely. No problem at all. And thanks for having me today, Declan.
No problem. And Paul, just lastly, if people want to get in contact with yourself or Mason Hayes Curran and Curran, sorry, for proper advice or on anything more specific, what's the best way to get in contact?
Yeah, I can be reached at pquinn@mhc.ie. We also have a website that has a lot of information. We do have a COVID zone at the moment that contains links. So if you do have specific employment law issues, there's links there to a lot of information. We publish regular e-zines on a lot of different employment law topics. And there's information in terms of our webinars that we've started to roll out quite regularly. So any information can be found there.
Fantastic. And we'll link all of that below the podcast. Paula, thanks a lot.
No problem. Thank you.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.